Good morning. I'm doing well, thanks. So I was going to say something about Gabe. Something about me being old, I don't know. Many years ago, 30 years ago, can you believe that? I pastored in Shelton. And so as we came from Olympia, past Shelton, and I thought, wow, it's been a while. Back then, Gabe had hair, and but it was short. It was still short. So anyway, great memories of this area, and it's always good to be able to go back and visit friends and family and his dad. I learned a lot under Gabe's dad, and so before that I was in a church and I learned what not to do from the pastor that I worked with, and I think the one thing that I can remember from Gabe's dad was how to pray, and so that has served me well as we've served God on the mission field for the last 18 years, 18 and a half years, the last 12 in the Dominican Republic, and then 6.5 years before that. And so, anyway, this is my family up on the screen. And Tammy and I have been married for 33 years. We have 4 kids. You'll see 5 in there. Our oldest, John, is married. He married a young, well, not so young, but they're young to us, aren't they? Right. So, anyway, they've been married, I think, 5 or 6 years. So, John and Marari is studying. She's actually a doctor. So he married up just like Tammy did. And so, anyway, she is in her residency, in her second year. She's a pediatrician, and so pray for them. They don't see each other very much. And so it's been, they have one and a half more years of it, so pray for them. We have 3 daughters. They all live out east, New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and they're all within, 2 of them live together, so Rebecca is our oldest. Pretty soon we hope that she'll be supporting us. So she works in marketing and works for a company in Manhattan. This morning she got on a plane. It was 8 o'clock East Coast time, so 5 o'clock here. She was going to London, and so her company that she works for is based out of London, and so she was pretty excited. And we pray that she will support her mom and dad soon. So our youngest 2 are twins, Abigail and Mariah. Abby is, she graduated from Eastern University, King of Prussia, just outside of Philly. And claim to fame there is Tony Campolo. That's where he taught. And so she graduated this last spring and is already working. And again, we hope that she'll support mom and dad too. So our youngest of the twins is Mariah, and she is doing her MBA with her senior year of college. And so she will graduate next year. And her friend talked to us this last year about, if we thought it was a good thing. And the jury's out on it still, so. But we fly back out east, and he's supposed to be asking her something. So pray for Dad. So, right? Anyway, been in full-time ministry for over 30 years. And as I look back, and we go to many different churches, and, I stand in front of churches, at the front and speak, and I'm amazed at how difficult the church makes things. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I walk into a church and there are unwritten rules right? And maybe there was some unwritten rules where Rick and Tammy weren't supposed to sit over here, you know, or whatever. But the church tends to make the simplest of things difficult, you know, and it shouldn't be like that. And I think of missions. It's not difficult, is it? Shouldn't be. You know, missions in the simplest of definitions is helping those who are in need, right? Helping those who are in need. I think there's a slide that says that. Who's working the slides? What's your name?
Riley.
Riley. Okay, so I'll say Riley, next slide. No, don't do it, but that's what I'll say if I need you to go to the next slide. Thank you, Riley. You're awesome. Helping those who are in need. And what's our mission? You live here in Mason County? Is this still Mason County? Yeah, okay, good. See, I remembered some things, right? Mason County. What is your mission? To help those who are in need. I mean, if I were to ask you, what is our mission? I'm sure that there would be 100 different mission statements here. But we know when we're to do missions. We know who we are to do missions with. But sometimes the church, we make it more difficult than it is. We are to help those who are in need. That's our goal. That's our mission as the church. The challenges that people face in the Dominican Republic are great. We believe that our approach to these difficulties are unique. Clean water is inaccessible to most people in the rural areas in the Dominican Republic. And so we, back in January of 2015, we started our own nonprofit, Mission 2535. And so we came up, we talked with people. What are the greatest needs? One of those needs is clean water. Unemployment. The unemployment rate is high. But again, you look at people in the Dominican Republic. If they don't work, they don't eat. People, you know, for a little bit, their family will take care of them. But if you're sitting on the couch watching TV all day, every day, pretty soon the well is going to draw up. The unemployment rate is high. Especially out in the villages, young people will stop going to school so that they can help support the family. So they leave school early, especially in the rural settings. There's only 1.5 doctors per 1,000 people in the Dominican Republic. And when you go out into the villages, it's even less than 1.5. I sure don't want to be at the doctor that's the 0.5. I don't want to go see that doctor. So, our mission is to help those who are in need. Today, I want to help you with why do we do what we do? What do we do? The what, why, and how. And so the first point is what. What are we talking about when we're talking about missions? There's two aspects. And the first is, Riley, evangelistic involvement outside of our immediate area, outside of our immediate contact. Next Friday, right? Next Friday, Saturday, you guys are going to Seattle. That is an evangelistic outreach. Acts 1:8. And you shall be my witnesses even to the remotest parts of the earth. Amen? Amen. Started going on mission trips back 30 years ago. And we would go and we would share the gospel. Goes back to those first few trips that Tammy and I led from Mountain View Alliance Church that Gabe and Jenny were a part of. The longer I live in the Dominican Republic, the more I understand that there is a greater need than just the physical needs. And I hope that you understand that where you live, there's more than just the physical needs. There's a spiritual need. What are you doing about the spiritual need with the people that you work with, the people that live in your neighborhood? Do they know where you're at today? Do people ever ask you why you do what you do? Has anybody ever come to you and said, you know, why are you going into Seattle on Saturday night? You have the opportunity to share with them why you're doing it. Our desire is that as people come to the church in the Dominican Republic, our desire is that as people come to the church for maybe physical needs, that sooner or later they'll come to know Jesus. That's why we do what we do. They come to the church for clean water, but hopefully they'll receive the living water. They come to the church for bread, for food, but hopefully they'll receive the bread of life. Amen? Matthew 25, 35 and 36 talk about that very thing when you know, Jesus, as he was sharing this passage, when you see somebody hungry, you feed them. When you see somebody thirsty, you give them something to drink. This passage is talking about that very thing where if we see people who are in need, we need to care for them. Amen? Our efforts are really about soul change. You know, it's just not giving somebody a glass of water, giving somebody clothes. But really, the heart of why we do what we do is to share the gospel. It's to share Jesus. So that's first and foremost. What do? It's the evangelistic involvement. Second is practical help. Helping people for the sake of helping people. Galatians 6, verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Let us do good. Amen? The second part of that passage in Matthew 25 talks about, that passage in Matthew 25 talks about the sheep and the goats, right? The sheep, the righteous, are the ones who, when they came across somebody who was hungry, they actually fed them. Okay, I didn't ask before. When should I be done? Because I'm starting to, there's no time. Amen. Oh, thank you. I love this kind of church. See, that's a written rule in some churches. But here, no rule. Oh, man. Do you have a chair or a stool up here? Matthew 25. So the first part, the righteous, when they came across people who were sick or who were hungry or thirsty, naked, or in prison, they actually did something about it. The second part of that passage, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty or sick or in prison? When, Lord? I love Keith Green. Hey? Keith Green sings this passage. And at the end of the song, the difference between the two, and it's dramatic. Dun, 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 dun. I can't play like Gabe, but, you know, that's how it sounds. But the only difference between the two is what you did or did not do. Whew. Do you hear that? The only difference between the sheep and the goats is what you did or did not do. Powerful. Everything that we do needs to be put in that spotlight. What are we doing when we see somebody hungry? And I'm not standing in front of you saying that I get it all the time. I don't. There are times that I drive by, I'm sure like many of you, that you see somebody who's at the street corner and you drive by. Or there's somebody who needs help and you turn your head the other way. Another passage that hits home to me is the Good Samaritan. Because there are three people in that story. The priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan. And I always share in when I'm talking about this passage, today the terminology would be the pastor, the elder, and a homeless person. Right? If we were to, in today's terminology, the pastor and the elder, they just didn't pass by, but they went on the other side of the street. But it was a homeless person, the bum, who actually stopped and helped. Hits home. So what are we to do? We're to share the gospel. And we're to help those who are in need. So, why? Why do we do what we do? Why do we do missions? Why do you serve in your community where God has planted you? Why do you do what you do? First is because we care. Or should be. Because we care. Romans 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Matthew 25, 35, and 36, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Do people know that you care? How do people know that you care? Do people know that you care for them? I'm going to go through some pictures here. It's why we go to the dump every Tuesday. Because we care. There's about 50 men and women who work at this dump. They don't live there. They come in on the first truckload of garbage, and they leave on the last one. And they go through the garbage. They rip open bags. And when a garbage truck comes and dumps the garbage, you would think that you would run away from that. At the dump, people go to that, and they rip open the bags, and they look for treasures. Plastic, cardboard, metals, glass, and anything else. And so we share a meal with them. We make sandwiches. We give cold bottles of water. Bags of chips. And we don't stop there, but we give that to them first. And then we share the gospel. We share about Jesus. Why do we do that? Because we care. Next slide. It's a senior's home. See? There we go. We go to the seniors' home because we care. To sit and to play dominoes with some of the men. Dominoes is huge there. We go and we just love on them. We share some snacks with them. We sing songs. And again, we always have an opportunity to share. I can remember one time, I've got a picture of a lady, her name's Debbie, and Debbie didn't know one Spanish word. And the picture that I have of Debbie, she's sitting with a gentleman who couldn't get out of bed, and she's there rubbing his arm. Why do we do what we do? Because we care. Next slide. We go to a youth rehabilitation center, and these boys are struggling with drugs, alcohol, gambling, behavioral issues, you name it. They're in this place. And so we go. They're starting to use us as therapy for them. And so they're starting to share their story with us as we go and share our story with them. God has put this on our hearts. So much so that we are in the process of building our own youth rehabilitation center. and we hope to have it open in early 2024. The building is done, and we're just finishing up. Now we just need to get the paperwork. So it could be 2026 by the time paperwork gets done in the Dominican Republic, but pray for us, please. What an opportunity that we have to share with these young men who are struggling. And we know the answer to all of our struggles, don't we? Right? And it's Jesus. So we go into this youth rehabilitation center an hour a week, maybe two if we're lucky. And so our youth rehabilitation center will be faith-based. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen? Next slide, please. We go in communities. We go door to door. And we'll take bags of groceries and we'll knock on doors. We'll go with a pastor from that community and share the gospel, share testimonies. And then as we leave, we give them a bag of groceries. Not a lot. It's about $25. But it's a way for us not only to share the gospel, to share with them about Jesus, but to meet their physical needs as well. Next slide, please. Back when Hurricane Irma, I think it was, I think it's cool that people come to our place, our community of hope. We have 10 acres in the heart of the Dominican Republic, and people always come by asking for help. I think that's cool, that they know that they can come to a place. They know that there's something different about us. Anyway, so this young lady came and asked for help for her house, and we just didn't have very much time. Well, this hurricane came through, and she had sent my my contractor a video, and my heart broke. Can you imagine going through a hurricane and being in the house on the top as a hurricane is coming through the Dominican Republic, where you can see daylight? And so I said, we will do something. I have no idea what we'll do. And so I put some stuff up on social media. Hey, we're looking at starting to build houses. And we had $30,000 come in. We were able to build 10 houses. It's an amazing opportunity to be able to provide basic shelter for people. Amen? Why do we do this? Why do we do all of it? Because we care. We genuinely care for the people. Amen? Next slide. So the second point, first is, why do we do it? Because we care. Second is, because we can. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Let each one do just as he proposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? John Wesley said it this way: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Amen? Do what you can. Some of us can do a whole lot more than others, and that's okay. But do what you can. I'm sure that you know people who are in need. Amen? We all know somebody that's in more need than you are. In the Dominican Republic, the most dire need is clean water. And so we, back in January of 2015, when we started Mission 2535, we said our four main pillars: clean water, food sustainability, education and job training, and dignified health care. Tackling these issues one by one has been tried for many years. As we were starting to put this nonprofit together, I started looking, and I could not find one organization that was doing all of this. There's organizations that will do clean water and maybe education, but not all of them. God has blessed us with so much. We ought to help those who are in need. To help those who maybe don't have clean water. Tammy and I can go and buy a 5-gallon a jug of clean water. It costs maybe a dollar. When you only have $10 and you need to feed your family, what are you going to do? Are you going to choose clean water and less food, or are you going to choose food? And that's what it comes down to. You know, there's many times that we've gone into our pastors' homes and they ask, do you want coffee? Yeah, we'll have coffee. And we know right away, okay, this house, we're probably getting tap water. And when you pray at mealtime, do you really mean that God would bless it? See, in the Dominican Republic, on the mission field, when you pray, you actually really mean, God bless this. There are many times that I've taken one for the team because I've had the coffee. And it wasn't, you know, my stomach was rumbling a little while later. But to be able to give that pastor a clean water filter, these water filters that we use are Sawyer water filters. You're going to see a picture in a minute. $27 for a water filter. Nothing for us. We'll provide clean water for that family for decades if they take care of it. Why do we do it? Because we care, because we can. And third is because we're called. And I'm not talking just the pastor and the elder. We are all called. Acts 16, verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We are all called. None of us are exempt from this. You can't sit here in church today and say, yeah, that doesn't apply to me. We are all called. All of us. Imagine if all of us were doing what he's called us to do. Right? Come on. Imagine what the church would look like if the church was actually doing what God had called them to. Again, it's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. I can say this. Maybe your pastor can't. It's not a suggestion. Get up and get to work. Do what God's called us to do. Amen? God has called us to be the church. Not just when we come to church, to sit in the pew and oh, I loved it when the missionary came. Said no one. Maybe Gabe. Jenny? Yeah, okay. We're all called. It's time. It's time. And some of you are tired because you have been called and you've been a part of the church and you've been working it. Others of you are going, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to work. Nobody's ever asked me. And again, some of those unwritten rules. Just ask. There's a board back there with pictures. I already looked. There's a board with pictures. Talk to Pastor Mike. Do you need people serving or no? You're full. You could use a couple. How has God gifted you? You know, when people come and they talk to us about coming to the Dominican Republic and serving, I always ask them, well, what are your gifts? How is God going to use you? And it's amazing. When we were in Mexico, we had this one church from Big Bear, California, and Kevin was a mason. His concrete work was, to die for. And so he came back and on a mission trip, and they were doing a basketball court for us. And the last day that he was there, he was finishing up, and we were talking. He goes, I had no clue I could do this for Jesus. Oh, it broke my heart. You know, whatever your talents are, you can use them for Jesus. Amen? So, what? Why? How are we going to participate in mission? First is we need to go where people are. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. We're to go. Back 30, 40, 50 years ago, we could open up the doors of the church and people would come. Hey, we've got this quartet here. They're singing, you know, and you could invite people to the church, right? We can't do that anymore. We need to go where people are. To go and to be witnesses, to go to the dump. To be able to serve in that way. To go where we just can't open the doors and say, people will come if we build it. They will come. No, we need to go where the people are. We have to go where the hurting people are, where the hungry people are, where the hopeless people are. It's not about inviting someone to come to church so the pastor can share the gospel with them. We need to go where he's called us to go. Amen? Second is we need to give what we can. James 2, verses 15 through 17. If a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give him what is necessary for the body, what use is it? Even so, faith, if it is not accompanied with works, is dead. People, we need to give what God has given to us. Amen? To be able to serve in that way. God has blessed us with so much. With so much. We ought to be able to bless others with a little bit of what God gave us. Riley, I think there's some scratch and sniff pictures up here, isn't there? Or did I already? Yeah? There we go. So back in January 2015, we bought 10 acres of land, and we've called it Community of Hope. We have our four pillars. It's clean water, food sustainability, education, and job training, and dignified health care. And so next slide. That's what our Community of Hope looks like. Next slide. So clean water. We've partnered with Sawyer Water Filters. Back when we started with them, we could buy a filter for $10. Talk about inflation, right? Talk about after COVID, things have gone up drastically. And so now they came out with a new water filter. The water filter is about this big. And it hooks up, the newest model that they have, hooks up to a tap. Most people in the Dominican Republic have running water. It's just not clean water. And so these filters, we go to a church and we do a water filter distribution, and we don't charge the church anything. We tell the pastor it would be wise for you to charge something. Because when you pay for something, you value it a whole lot more than if you're to get it for free, right? We understand that. And so we do these water filter distributions, and it's amazing. Just this last year, we stand up in front of, and you'll see it in a video, where my guys are, doing a demonstration, and I always put dirt in the water so that people can see how dirty the water is. They can't see, it looks clean, but they need to know that it's dirty water. And so they squeeze the bottle, and it goes through the filter, and then on the bottom, it's clean water. And it's amazing. You know, these people are going, wow! You know, some of the ladies will shake the people in front of them and go, look at what's happening! Clean water is so important. Why do we do that? Because we care, and because we can. This last year, we had a church from Albany, Oregon. They did their year-end giving. They gave $30,000 for us to buy water filters. It's awesome. Next slide, please. We built this building, the yellow building in the background a couple pictures ago, is our vocational technical school. We partner with the government. Sometimes the government is good, sometimes not so good. Right now, they're not giving us the teachers that we need. And so we provide the space and the students. The government provides the teachers. And since COVID, it has just been a real bear trying to get the teachers that we need. And part of it is they found employment elsewhere. And so they're not part of the program anymore. So please pray for us. The first year that we were up and running with our vocational technical school, we graduated 300 people. That's the bottom picture here where they're graduating. And so we'll do classes, whether it's English, computers, electrical, refrigeration, pharmacy, nursing, so many different programs. And we, depending on what people sign up for, right now we have a stack of applicants like that. And so we're just waiting for these teachers. Pray for us, please. Next slide. Food sustainability. We have 10 acres of land and less and less growable land, but we have, just because we're building buildings. So we have pigs, we've had chickens. At one point we had 8,000 chickens, and I like chicken, doesn't everybody? But I like pork more than chicken, you know, especially when you fry it and, you know, the chicharron. Oh, there's nothing like it. And so, as you can tell, I have some chicharron. And so we've done yuca, we've done sweet potatoes, we'll do anything. We started with fish, with aquaponics. Right now, I think we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 25,000 tilapia. And, you know, during COVID, we gave everything that we grew, everything that we had away to help the people. And so this comes back to helping the people. And so be praying for us that we would find new ways to help out. Next slide. Dignified healthcare. I said earlier that 1.5 doctors per 1,000 people. We go into communities and we'll do medical clinics. Just a year and a half ago, there was a church that came and served with us from Indiana, Pennsylvania. And one of the ladies on that trip was an administrator for a hospital. And she said, "Oh, I wish I could send you our mobile medical clinic. We're getting a new one." I said, "You can. You can send it." And so the hospital has donated it to us. We're just waiting for them to get their new one. Pray that it happens soon, sooner than later. This is, it's an amazing bus. It's already used as a mobile clinic in Pennsylvania. They go to the fairs, county fairs, state fair, and they do checkups. And so what an opportunity that would be for us to be able to go and to help in these communities. Next slide. All of our businesses, we have a furniture factory. We have a plastic recycling factory. We have all the agriculture. All of that goes into church planting. All the revenue, it doesn't go into helping me eat more chicharron, though I would like it, but it goes to helping plant more churches. We have a young man who is, when I get back in October, he is our next church planter. Pray for us that we will be able to help him rent a place and then to fund the church. And it all comes from our revenue stream at Community of Hope and churches that partner with us. Next slide. Oh, I skipped over that because we're called. That goes way, yeah. Okay, go to the very end. How can you partner with us? You can pray. Please pray for us. We desperately need your prayer support. We could not do what we do without churches praying for us. You can give. Give to missions. Give to missions at your local church here. You're talking to coming and serving. You know, part of that, I would imagine, would help the trip, help those who are coming. So give to missions. And then you can go. You can come. If anything has sparked interest in what I've shared with you today, come. We'd love to have you February, right? February. love to have you serve with us. I've got a short video talking about what it looks like on the ground in the Dominican Republic.